Dying, Christ destroyed our death. Rising, Christ restored our life. Christ will come again in glory. As in baptism, Arthur Bailey put on Christ, so in Christ may he be clothed with his glory. Here and now, dear friends, we are God's children. What we shall be has not yet been revealed. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Those who have this hope purify themselves as Christ is pure. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and I am the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, yet shall they live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And I hold the keys of hell and death. And because I live, you shall live also. Friends, we have gathered here to praise God and to witness to our faith as we celebrate the life of Art Bailey. We come together in grief, acknowledging our own human loss. But God will grant us grace. And in pain, we will find comfort. In sorrow, we find hope. And in death, we find resurrection for ourselves as well. Our first hymn this morning, if you're following along, is number 452, Here I Am, Lord. Number 452 in the...
I have heard you calling.
special number from our own Mount Zwingli men. Dave Bailey will come and read the obituary.
So before I begin, just a thought that comes to mind to me yesterday, and even throughout this morning with the faithful that have joined here today, is yesterday all I could think, with all of the folks that were there yesterday coming to see Uncle Lardoff and my uncle, and wishing well in talking to Aunt Joan and Michelle and Scott, was I could just see my Uncle Art sitting at the right hand of Jesus, said, "Well done, faithful servant." He was that type of a man, and I'm so proud to be able to speak and be able to read the obituary from my Uncle Art. So Arthur Bailey of Copley, peacefully departed his earthly body, surrounded by his family on Wednesday, this past Wednesday, November 20th. Art was a humble man, but he had so many accomplishments. He was good with his hands. He could build and fix just about anything. He was a great athlete, excelled in football, track, and softball, culminating in inductions into the Copley High School Athletic Hall of Fame, the University of Akron Hall of Fame, Silver League Softball Hall of Fame, and the Summit County Athlete Hall of Fame. He loved to do anything outdoors, and he could often be found in the woods chopping wood, mowing paths, or simply enjoying nature. He and his wife, Joan, hiked the Summit Metro Park's fall hiking spree for many years. And he loved to ski, golf, and play tennis with his daughter, Michelle. Art was born October 15, 1934, in Kenmore, Ohio. Art was a graduate of Copley High School, class of 1952, just a few years ago. And he received his bachelor's degree from the University of Akron and his master's degree from Kent State, my alma mater. He was a proud U.S. Army veteran who served in the 82nd Airborne from 1954 to 1956. For over 30 years, he taught biology, health, and ecology at Ellett High School. He would greet each new class with a promise of an enlightening experience. After his retirement in 1987, he volunteered at Akron Children's Hospital. He was an active Silver League softball player into his 80s. He was a deacon at Mount Zwingli UCC Church, this location, of course. And he demonstrated God's love by being kind and helpful to anyone that he met. By far, his greatest accomplishment was being a devoted husband to over 67 years to Aunt Joan, and the best father ever to his daughter, Michelle. Besides his wife and daughter, Art leaves behind his son-in-law, Scott, his sisters-in-law, Dee Bailey, Alice Bailey, which is my mother, and Mary Ann Droblin, and many nieces, nephews, great-nieces, and great-nephews. He was preceded in death by his parents, Ken and Clela, brothers Dave and Ken, and brother-in-law Tom. So, and the family would like to thank everyone from the Vitalia staff, the Suncrest Hospice, and the Cornerstone Caregiving for their compassionate care of Art. I have witnessed several of these people in action, and I would vouch for them any day. They were just so wonderful, to Aunt Joan and Uncle Art, in the way they took care of them, and the way they just were compassionate. Just pure human, compassionate people. And Aunt Joan, I believe, I witnessed part of that with one of the Cornerstone. I know Aunt Joan spoke of two or three different people that she had met through the Cornerstone support group. And I met one of them, a young man named Terry, he went by. And when I was there last week, Aunt Joan and Terry were just talking like family. I think it was two things. I think he was there to support Aunt Joan. I think she had a very good confidence level with him, was comfortable, and they were talking. But then there was a little bit of a tie, and I thought it was interesting. It kind of goes in line with who Uncle Art was. Terry, when he was called by Cornerstone to go out and become a support person with Arthur Bailey, he said, and he's telling me that I heard that name, I thought I recognized the name, but I couldn't quite figure out where it was. When he got out to Vitalia, where Aunt Joan and Uncle Art reside, he saw pictures on the wall of Uncle Art when he was in Akron U and he was in Copley, and the bells went off for Terry, and he's like, OMG, or oh my goodness, that's Arthur Bailey on the Athletic Hall of Fame at Akron University. Amazing, amazing how God ties us together. Just ties the little strings of connection. And he never knew, Terry never knew the Bailey family, but just to have that tie to someone at that moment in need was just, it's just amazing. I'm sure that's divine intervention. The other thing I want to be able to say about that group of people is just that the help that they did, Vitalia has been wonderful in taking care of Aunt Joan and Uncle Art, and I'm sure they'll continue to take care of her in any way she needs going forward. But the helpers, the operation and the support that they're providing her is just immeasurable. Another thing I want to bring back about Uncle Art before I relinquish the mic is everyone, if you were there yesterday, with all of his old teammates from college and high school and from his years playing softball, out of all of that, everybody could tell Uncle Art was the ultimate competitor, as you could tell. Just in everything he did, the stories. And when you think about that gathering, that get-together of all of the people, of all of our families and friends, it's the memories, the amount of memories that came out of that, they're all associated with him and his legacy that is so outstanding and so profound. It warmed my heart just to see and hear. I went around trying to speak with everyone I could just to hear the stories, to hear what they knew and how they knew it. And just the way they spoke of him was just so, he was just so highly respected, so highly loved, which was really great. My last story about Uncle Art is I have, with my family, have hosted a family 4th of July picnic every year for 15, 20 years, whatever it's been now. And even though Uncle Art, over the years, you could see he was starting to get to the point where he couldn't pitch a softball going this way, he'd come to our family picnic, and he'd do cornhole, throwing the beanbag this way, right? And he was playing cornhole up until about 3 years ago in our cornhole tournament in our picnic. And he won it. He finally got to be paired with my son-in-law, Jake, and they won the whole tournament. And I think that was the pinnacle of his cornhole career as well. So he's probably on the Bailey Cornhole Tournament Athletic Hall of Fame as well in my book. Thank you for letting me share this with you.
I'm here with my husband. I hope I can do just as well as Dave. So please give me some grace if I have a few pauses along the way. But my name is Michelle, and for 58 years, I have had the enormous privilege of calling Art Bailey my dad. He was more than a dad to me. He was a coach, cheerleader, teacher, and confidant. It has been both humbling and gratifying over the last few days to learn that most of you felt the same way about him. I would like to share with you some things that made my dad such a wonderful man. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, "The purpose of life is not to be happy. It is to be useful, to be honorable, to be compassionate, to have it make some difference that you have lived and lived well." I feel that my dad's life truly embodied this quote, with one exception. My dad was also happy, as he did find his true happiness in being useful, honorable, and compassionate to others. Rare was the day that my dad didn't have a full list of things to do and projects to work on. Every summer, while I was growing up, we didn't go on vacation. Instead, we had a major project. Whether it was pouring a third-mile-long concrete driveway in sections over several summers, or tearing down and completely rebuilding a garage, you haven't lived unless you've spent a summer chipping mortar off of bricks so you could reuse them for a whole entire new garage. But building various outbuildings on their property, there was always something going on. I followed him everywhere and learned useful skills like how to use a hammer, a drill, circular saw, and later a chainsaw. Because of him, I am not afraid to try to fix things around the house or take on new projects inside and outside. But Dad knew how to have fun, too. We went bike riding, fishing, and swimming. He bought a motorcycle in his 40s, and together we would take trips out to the country, and often culminating in some ice cream. He loved to golf and took several trips with his dear friend Art Bell and his family, oftentimes playing 36 holes in one day. And those of you that knew him probably aren't surprised by that at all. Later in life, he and I enjoyed many holes of golf together as he taught me his love of the game. One of his favorite roles was of coach. Dad was my softball coach. And from very early on, we were playing catch in the driveway, working on skills, hitting balls in the backyard with our dog, Trampus, playing outfielder. Little did we know then, he was not only teaching me, but learning the skills that would make him an excellent softball player later in life. I grew up in a generation where women were not always given opportunities to succeed. But my dad did not believe that for me. To him, I could do anything I wanted and could be successful at it. He empowered me to do better and make him and mom proud. I could call him anytime to ask a question on how to do something or just talk about life. He would say life is about choices and you need to live with the choices you make. Dad had opportunities to make different choices than he did in life, but I think the ones he made defined who he was. The choice to go into the Army gave him structure and discipline. Marrying my mom gave him great love and the right partner to build a home and life around. He always told her she was who motivated him to get his bachelor's and then his master's degree. He was a meticulous saver. In between mom and him, they built a comfortable life on two teachers' salaries and much hard work. He turned those choices into lessons for others through teaching, coaching, mentoring, and helping those in need. Whether helping a family member or delivering Meals on Wheels or volunteering at Children's Hospital or being an active member of his church, Dad never passed on an opportunity to be useful or compassionate. He made cards that said, "Be kind," during COVID and shared them with others in an effort to bring people together in a time of such division. One of the things I will miss most about my dad is just being with him. Long goodbyes. Scott used to call them long goodbyes. We never could just say goodbye. We had to talk in the driveway for 20 minutes. Yeah, Scott always knew, 20 minutes at least. We'd talk together in the driveway before we left, laughing together at the dinner table, telling jokes, working together out in the woods. I never doubted his love for me, and he never doubted my love for him. I would like to close with something that I found in my dad's. When we were cleaning out their house last year in anticipation of selling it, they had a bulletin board in their basement, and Dad had pinned a post-it note with little phrases he had written down that meant something to him. As it was not his nature to write things like this down, I have treasured this little piece of paper and have tried my best to live by these tenets. I hope that some of these resonate with you as well. Live your dream. Show compassion. Create your own happiness. Follow your heart. Enjoy the little things. He said that a lot. Enjoy the little things. Laugh out loud. Be your best self. Cherish every moment. Dream big. Embrace every possibility. Discover your passion. Believe in miracles. Create peace. And make a wish and be spontaneous. Thank you all for being here for my dad today. He would have been so humbled to see such an outpouring of love and affection for him. Thank you for the men's sextet. That was beautiful singing. And thank you, Dave, for reading the obituary. He loved you so much. And thank you to you, Dad, for being such a great father. I will miss you for the rest of my days. Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle. In the program, you'll find the 23rd Psalm is printed there in the King James Version. And at this time, if you will find that, we will recite this together. Saying together, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." In speaking with the family, and especially Joan mentioned to me that his favorite short saying was, be kind, be kind. And he lived by that. He was kind to everyone. Kindness is one of the fruits of the Spirit that we read about in Galatians 5, verse 22. There are nine of those: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faith, gentleness, and self-control. These are all good attributes, and I do believe that Art had all of them. And so the fruit of the Spirit was alive and well in his life. And as we all know, we have the promise of eternal life. And as the Apostle Paul tells us, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so he is with the Lord on this day. I'd just like to take a couple of moments and compare, I guess the antithesis of all of this and to speak about the other side for just a moment. So when speaking of the fruit of the Spirit, we have love is the first one. But there's a lot of hate in the world, isn't there? There's a lot of division in the world. How important is it that we have love for all persons? Joy. The opposite of joy. Joy is more than happiness. It is an extreme. So the closest thing that we come up with, in many places, is what we call depression. To be caught in a depression or a down mood, rather than to be filled with the joy of speaking with your daughter in the driveway as she's leaving. Peace is the third. And opposite of peace would be uncertainty or anxiety. There's a lot of that in the world today. And we can be messengers of peace and tell people about our Lord and Savior who gives us the fruit of the Spirit. Patience is the fourth one. The opposite of patience is impatience. It's also selfishness. Art was patient, I think, except for when somebody was running in the backfield that he needed to tackle, then he would get after him. Kindness. Kindness is what describes Art, I think, most appropriately. All of these describe him, but he was kind to everyone. The opposite of that would be arrogance or rudeness, and that he had nothing to do with it. Number six on the list of nine is generosity, or it's usually sometimes translated goodness, but it is generosity. He was generous with his time. He was generous with other people. He was not selfish or stingy. The seventh is faith. And I heard Michelle say, believe in yourself or have faith, one of the things that her father taught. Number eight is gentleness. For a man that could hit the baseball, the softball, and hit a opposing quarterback or somebody running into the backfield, in person he was very gentle. He was not harsh or loud. And finally, self-control. We have many things that can control us. Many people today are controlled by lust for riches or pursuit of riches or lust of the eyes, things like that. But Art was gentle. So, brothers and sisters, why do we grieve at times like this, of sickness and in death? Because we know, just as God knows, that there needs to be a resurrection for each one of us. And he has provided that for us. We know there is a better way. We had a chance in the garden and we threw it away. But God kept coming back. And he provided, finally, a way through his Son, Jesus Christ. That we would take on Christ, we would be in Christ, if we accept his sacrifice for us. through faith and through our speaking the words of faith, which can save us. So why do we grieve at sickness and death? Because we know there's a better way. Why do we grieve at hatred and wars and persecution? Because we know there is a better way. And why do we grieve in the face of injustice when people are wrongly accused? We know that this is not the way that God works. And so we wait for that day, don't we? We pray it almost every Sunday when we say, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." We want things to be on earth as they are in heaven. We want justice. We want love and peace for all people. Our favorite saying was, "Be kind." And I just wanted to share with you a couple of quotes on kindness. "Those who are happiest are those who do the most for others." This is Booker T. Washington. "Remember that the happiest people are not those who are getting more, but those who are giving more." That is H. Jackson Brown, Jr. And the St. Paul from the book of Colossians chapter 3, he says these words, "And above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony." Love is the magic ingredient. It does bring everything together in perfect harmony. And finally, integrity is doing the right thing, even when nobody is watching. God occasionally gives me poems, and I've shared some of those before. God gave me one last night, about shortly after midnight. And that's, the juices flow, I don't know. God speaks to me in the quietness, and learning from other brothers and sisters in the Lord. But anyway, I don't need to say any more about that. I'll just share it with you. A man of kindness and football. "Kindness makes the world take flight, a light that shimmers, warm and bright. The smallest kindness, right and true, can stir old hearts and make them new. A helping hand, a listening ear, a strong embrace removes all fear. Our kindness whispers in the breeze and cures the loneliest disease. Kindness makes the world take flight, a light that shimmers warm and bright. It does not shout, it does not bend, but soothes us like a loving friend. Secure in Him, we've found our rest. His faith is true, it's passed the test. He brings to hearts a sweet release and offers all unending peace. So let it flow to you and me, for only He can set us free. This kindness makes the world take flight, His light that shimmers warm and bright." Amen. Our final hymn is number 546, and Joan, of course, requested these hymns, and she thought this would be appropriate for our final hymn. So let us sing together, "Amazing Grace," number 546. As we pray together the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father, and let us pray together as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now dismissal with blessing. And now may he who created heaven and earth continue to speak to us of his glory and his supremacy. And may he continue to speak through the deer and the turkeys of the woods where art like to wander. May we see him in the design of the birds of the air, the flowers of the field, and in every living creature. May he continue to speak through the sun, moon, and planets of our own galaxy, and through the suns, moons, and planets of galaxies many light years away. And may he continue to speak to us through the beauty of a perfect day of sunshine, the power of the thunderstorm, and the soft beauty of falling rain. And especially for chilly fall days this time of year that are just perfect for a rousing game of football. And may we
be ready to accept his knowledge and to put away our own limited and puny knowledge.
May we seek him where he may be found, in the pages of his holy word, in quiet meditation, through relationship with his Holy Son, who came to us from heaven and even now calls us home. Lord God, we love you. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for the life that has been lived before us. We thank you for the difference he has made in this life, and the love and the joy and the kindness that he has shared. We give him now to your hands, and we know that we will see him on the other side, for to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Thank you for your holy word and for your promises. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.